Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, that's Trey Essex, Super Bowl champ. Offensive lineman. Very active on social media, talking about Broderick Jones with the morning show. And as we start the new week, Steelers and Chargers, a big matchup at Acrisure Stadium on Sunday. Jones finds himself on the bench. Tomlin said he's going to give him a chance to rebound. Maybe that starts with being an extra tackle or coming in for a series or maybe a goal line or short yardage play. Who the hell knows? But as things sit right now, he is the only offensive tackle from last year's draft, he was taken in the first round, who's not a starter, and he went with a 14th pick. And we've got people like Jerry Dulac in the Post-Gazette saying today, the Steelers don't want Broderick Jones sitting on the bench. Well, then who put him there? The league? I mean, his mom? I just don't. The Steelers are the only people that have control over this situation. They don't want him sitting on the bench. Well, then take him off the bench. They're not.
Seems pretty simple to me.
Yeah.
No, he put himself on the bench. He played horrible in that game. I've said numerous times now about this situation right off the jump here. By the way, I felt like Trey Essex was possibly like going at people like me, maybe me specifically, with some of the things I've said about the way the coaches have screwed this up. Quickly to address one thing he said, he felt like they had put him in a really good position, basically. I disagree. He showed he was good enough to start at his off position. They have never really let him try to gain a true foothold for a variety of reasons, some of which are victim of circumstance reasons, at his natural spot.
I have agreed with you on that, and I still agree. But I have to admit something to you about that discussion. It's more about my disdain for Dan Moore than it is accommodating Jones and saying he was drafted to be a left tackle, so he should be the left side. It's more, in my opinion, of getting the two best tackles, who I think are Fautanu and Jones, on the field at the same time, than it is making sure that Jones plays the side he was intended to play. Because how about this today, this stat? They're going to play the Chargers on Sunday. Joe Alt from Notre Dame was the first tackle picked in the first round.
Yep.
He played left tackle there at Notre Dame. He is going to play right tackle against the Steelers.
Because they have Rashawn Slater.
Which got me down a rabbit hole. Every tackle from this draft who was picked in the first round is starting at their off position. Every guy that's in. Latham in Tennessee, right tackle at Alabama, playing left tackle for the Titans. Talese Fuaga for the Saints, right tackle at Oregon State, playing left tackle for the Saints. Tyler Guyton with the Cowboys, played right tackle at Oklahoma, playing left tackle, starting left tackle with the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a unique or out of character thing. I thought it was. It's not, at least with this current, and the other one would be the Steelers tackle here.
Fautanu played left.
Played left, playing right. Yeah, so they've all five of them have had to change up and play different positions.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the Steelers are being totally unfair to Jones with that. What I think is unfair is making them work out at both sides. I would pick one. And it's just
they're taking a first-round tackle and they're treating him like a fifth-rounder who has some versatility.
Well, it's the continued, even though he does not have a long-term contract, it's the bending over backwards for Dan Moore that bothers me more than anything else.
Do you think that that's not the reason I've been saying it? I haven't been saying it because I think Broderick Jones deserves, like, special treatment. I mean, I loudly declared he needed to sit on the bench after he was that bad. Like, if I was in the tank just, like, saying at all turns this guy should be accommodated to and coddled, I would have said, oh, you got to let him keep going out there. No way. It is the accommodation given to Dan Moore, who I, again, you can tell me or tell Pony, get in our mentions, you could call us and say, Dan Moore's been pretty solid this year. I would actually agree with you. Dan Moore hasn't been solid for the duration of his career. That is the problem. He has been a below average right or left tackle for almost the entirety of his NFL career. And so it is the accommodation of a below average picked in the fourth round tackle that has bothered me the most about it. And also, like, asset management, you take a guy in the first round, you trade up two spots to get him. It's just like the way every team functions, unless the player is like a complete misaval,
yep,
like, and doesn't belong in the NFL, that you try to put him in a situation that you think will give him the best chance of success because you used a lot of capital. You used a valuable resource to get him.
I have a Dan Moore stat that I want to get to in a second, but I want to go around the room here on this, and I want to get our listeners involved too. We have tickets, or not tickets, we have a $50 Pins gift card to give away today in this first hour of the show. And I'm just going to ask all of you guys this straightforward question. Should Broderick Jones be playing right now? If you were in charge, if you were Mike Tomlin and you're consulting with Arthur Smith and your offensive line coach, for this Sunday's game, would you have Broderick Jones in the starting lineup or would he be on the bench? Donnie?
I would not play him.
No.
No. I hate to say it, but I mean, Dan Moore is playing fine. Like, he has not shown that he should not be playing right now, given how things are, and Faltanu stepped right in and played much better than what Jones did.
Chris?
I mean, Jones completely threw off an entire drive that probably would have been a touchdown.
Chris?
I'll give you the answer, and then a very quick thing I would also add on. No, he shouldn't be playing. And no, he should not be cross-training. He should be working out exclusively at left tackle. And here's why I say no, because of all the reasons Donnie said, and I'm not an idiot, and I'm not going to be somebody, even though I pounded the table and danced around the building, it's, yeah, Rocky song that they drafted him, da-da-da-da-da-da, everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be the guy who then just, like, refuses to criticize him because I think that would make me sound stupid.
Yeah.
He shouldn't play because he was terrible, but we also know that there is a baseline level of ability that was shown last year at right tackle. What does he really have to gain by continuing to rep at a position he's already proven to them he can slide in and play?
So here's why I disagree with both you guys. Yeah, he was bad. Yeah, he has to take personal accountability and responsibility for what happened in the Denver game. Yeah, it was the worst drive I've ever seen by an offensive tackle, maybe ever. He had three penalties in six plays. Do you know how many penalties he had all of last year?
Two.
Two. He had more penalties on one drive than all of last year. Do we all agree he played fine against Atlanta? Does anybody want to dispute that? Do we think he played well?
I thought he was fine.
In his first game?
I thought he was fine.
Played fine. Donnie, yeah. Do you think he played bad against Atlanta?
I don't think there was, like, anything noticeably bad about his performance.
So when he started against Atlanta, he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
He only really sucked when he was quite literally asked to do something that tackles are never asked to do, which is to just rotate into the game.
It's something you see in college.
So, I mean, I just, yeah, it was awful, and he didn't deserve to go back in, but I think if he started at a position and was there from play one, if he did fine against Atlanta, I don't see any reason to think he couldn't do fine against the Chargers. And if the best we're saying about Dan Moore is he hasn't done enough to get benched, he does not have a contract beyond this year.
Nope.
I'd rather play Jones than play Moore. It's just that simple to me. Unless people want to call into 412-928-9370 and say one of two things. Either they think Jones flat out sucks now, or they think we're downplaying how good Dan Moore has been the first two games of the season.
I'm going to make an argument you won't like quickly as to why, even though I am the biggest Jones defender on this show, I wouldn't do what you're suggesting, which, to be clear, is you would bench Moore right now and play Jones, correct?
Yes!
Okay. I'm gonna make an argument you won't like. As much as I cannot stand the fact that Moore has continued to just hang on there, and as much as I don't think he has been good the last three seasons, I'll give him credit for playing well the first two games. Like, he had one holding penalty, but I didn't think he played poorly in either game. I thought he actually played pretty well. I don't love the message it sends, even to Broderick Jones. You got benched last game deservedly because you were bad, but we're going to ultimately reward you by putting you over at the spot where you have barely taken any reps. It still does have to be about winning games, and Moore through 2 weeks has been good enough for them to win games.
All right, but if I'm telling you...
I also think Moore water will find its level very soon.
Exactly. So if I'm telling you...
You're trying to get out ahead of that.
I'm saying if you swap it, like, does Chris Mueller reduce the Steelers' chances of beating the Chargers whatsoever if Jones is at left tackle instead of Dan Moore? I don't.
No, I don't.
They're getting ready for Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, two elite pass rushers. I'd rather have the elite talent out there than a guy who, for the most part, has looked like a human turnstile entire career.
That goes back to why I said, though, my answer would be he shouldn't play this week, but he should only be repping at left tackle, because I think you can satisfy both masters a little bit here. If he does what I would say I would do, you put Dan Moore on notice. Hey, Dan, we've said nice things about you. You've kept your head down, but there's a reason we drafted tackles in the first round in back-to-back years. You are one of those reasons. The major reason. We don't think you're that good. Rep the first-round pick at the position that you wanted him to play, and it sends a message to everybody involved. And guess what? If Dan Moore gets beat like a turnstile on the first two series, you put Broderick Jones in at that point.
But again, though, he's going in midstream. And I know guys come into games for injured players all the time. It's not completely... radical. The idea of rotating guys is, but somebody coming in mid-game is not out of the question because it happens. Guys get hurt. But I'd rather have him prepared to start against these dudes than, all right, Dan Moore had a bad series just like you did against Denver. Go get him now. I'd rather imbue him with confidence now than wait for a guy to stink.
I guess
to do that.
I guess as much as I think the guy has been done wrong by them, I don't like the idea of rewarding a player who played objectively, by any measure, the worst six snaps of his pro career last week.
Okay.
That's all. I know it's a simplistic, reductive argument, and believe me, I want to be agreeing with you here because it is them prioritizing Broderick Jones. Even I have a line where
I just think
the Steelers
offensive line to take a jump and become a really good offensive line, it's going to happen with Jones and Fautanu in the lineup together. Both of those guys playing. And maybe it won't look like that against the Chargers, but in my opinion, the sooner we see it, the quicker we see that offensive line gel and come together and play well. That's it. And I think, like, Jones, when, say, Amalu goes in, will probably look better because he'll have an elite guard playing next to him or a close to elite guard playing next to him. So I just don't see the upside with Moore. And I don't
see
him.
They love his attitude. I think Tomlin loves that stuff.
Well,
about a guy who keeps his mouth shut. And what did he say about him yesterday? He doesn't pay attention to the noise happening around him.
He said Dan is Dan.
Dan is Dan. He doesn't pay attention to the noise, meaning people like me ripping him. I think Mike loves that. And I think it's a Mike blind spot. And I think he's done it before with players where their attitude has kept them in the lineup.
I have a stat on him that I want to give you guys. It is actually a crazy one.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One. Dan has been solid. Dan has been Dan. Dan is never moved by what's going on around him. There's a maturity to his approach to business, and oftentimes it is reflected in the consistency of his play.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. We'll get right to the phones, but I do have a Dan Moore stat that I think lets you know why Tomlin likes Moore, probably more than the front office does. Right now, football is so granular. The NFL is broken down in such a minute way that they can tell you when a run play goes behind a tackle, how many yards that run play averages.
Mm-hmm.
League average, when a running back takes a ball behind a left tackle, that running back averaged in 2023, 3.97 yards per carry. 3.97. Last year, running behind Dan Moore, 2023 Steelers averaged 5.29 yards per carry. Where did that rank in the entire NFL? First.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
You can make the case he was the best run-blocking left tackle, and then you can make the case he's the worst pass-blocking.
But they don't care because they want to run the ball, and that's why they wanted Jones in there at right, because he was a better pass or run blocker than Chooks.
And then you have both. The best of both worlds for Tomlin, the great run-blocking tackles.
I know Dan Moore was good at run-blocking because in his second year in the league, where by most of the measurable things like the grading schemes, PFF and everything else, they thought he took a jump from year one to year two, which I'm sure Tomlin also noticed.
But that still boggles my mind,
Tony,
that they were that good running the ball.
It doesn't boggle my mind because I remember...
Best in the league?
When he was getting ripped badly... For most of his play, the one thing I would point out is when they would run left, they would have success. Pre-Seumalo at left guard, too, mind you, that they were having some success there that was maybe surprising to people, but I kept noticing it when I would watch their games. And it also stands to reason that if Mike wants to run the ball, he'll be very comfortable with a guy that statistically allows him to do that.
Tyler Kennedy going to join us in about 10 minutes or so on Sidney Crosby's contract and... Penguins started training camp today. Our Penguins analyst, the Stanley Cup champion, one Tyler Kennedy. First, some of your calls on this, starting with let's go to Greg in Pittsburgh. Hello, Greg.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Good. I guess, to me, the objective way to look at it is if you take the draft status completely out of the equation, who would you want to start?
I would want Broderick Jones, and I would want Fautanu to start.
Okay, I guess I just think as long as Dan Moore is still on the job, I just don't see why.
Have you felt like Dan Moore has been a steady, good offensive left tackle for the last several seasons?
Honestly, no, but I think as long as he's playing good this year, and it seems like Broderick Jones just hasn't been the same person, I cannot see why.
Did you watch week one and think Broderick Jones played poorly against the Falcons? I thought there was nothing in his game tape to make it seem like he should
right.
be benched.
Right, Greg, if your whole point is if it ain't broke, don't fix it, well then why did they take Jones out after the first game?
That's a very good question. I don't know.
That's
you got to wonder.
That's why we're both asking it to you. If you're saying, hey, what the hell?
Yeah, no, I'm
Moore's
saying,
been
it,
solid.
It
why bench
if,
the solid guy? Jones was solid in his first game.
It just kind of makes you wonder if there's something going on behind the scenes that we just simply don't know about.
Well, that's why there's been so many opinions thrown out there about not being interested and whatnot, which have been either Kabali or Hoke. Some have debunked that. Others have said maybe there's some teeth to it.
I think there's an obvious thing about Broderick Jones, what we can glean from interviews about his personality that Tomlin doesn't like compared to Dan Moore. Moore's apparently just quiet professional. Jones seems to be like a pretty pleasant guy. I think Batco described him as like easygoing or something like that. Just like I think he said affable. Affable's a good word. You want to be described as affable, Pony. Donnie, you're always described that way. I think Tomlin, surly, miserable, usually.
I don't agree with that.
Surly for
okay.
sure. But anyway, like, don't you think Mike is the kind of guy that if you're affable, Mike might think you don't care?
Okay, but Mike does more like homework on these draft picks and goes and talks to them like more than any other head coach. If something about Jones's personality rubbed him the wrong way, then why the hell draft him?
I mean, I think Mike wanted Joey Porter Jr., but he was just merely convinced by the GM and assistant GM that Porter could be had in pick 32 and they could go get Jones as well.
Alan is next. Hello, Alan.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, first of all, this is probably the most important Steeler conversation going today, far more than Wilson versus Fields. But, you know, I think when the Steelers made their last two first-round draft picks, they were seeing that was the future of the offensive line. Jones is not looking right now like the future of the offensive line. I think they got to play more, and I think they've got to work with Jones and try to get him into the guy that they thought they were drafting.
But more isn't the future of the offensive line either, Alan.
No, no, and I agree with you 100%, and I don't believe he's going to be here next year. But I think that Jones needs to earn that in practice and getting better. You can't put him in there and have him, you know, moving before the snap and then holding everybody.
Okay, but also he was asked to do something that Mike Tomlin has never asked of any offensive lineman, and that's to quote-unquote rotate into a game, Alan.
I imagine that's tough. I was never an offensive lineman, so I can't speak to that.
I think you hear about linemen getting better as games go on because they get into a rhythm of the game. Like, we hear that all the time.
Right. So, I mean, that's why, I'm sorry, I am going to probably be not as harsh and not as cruel and not as, biting with my critique of how Jones played, because they were asking out of him something that, again, Tomlin had never asked out of one of his linemen before.
I'm willing to bet this, too. I think if he hadn't screwed up those possessions and they had gone back and forth between he and Fautanu, I think it would have hurt both of them as the game wore on. They are treating Dan Moore like he could not possibly be dislodged from this lineup
and
right now.
And yet you guys are both saying keep Moore in and Pony, don't play Jones.
Pony, there's just a very like base level part of my brain that sees how bad Jones was even as his staunchest defender. And I'm just like, I cannot, for the life of me, I cannot reward that. I want to agree with you. Your argument makes me want to agree with you, but like, I just can't get out of my head. He was so bad, I cannot give that guy something that the other guy hasn't really seeded
through
two games.
Okay, well then let me try another way. Do you think Dan Moore is a good offensive tackle?
No.
Do you think Broderick Jones is a good offensive tackle?
Yes.
Then why are you supporting playing the guy you don't think is good over the guy who you think is good? That makes no sense to me.
I think the guy who I don't think is good is playing fine right now, and the guy who I think is good is coming off of the worst six snaps any offensive lineman's probably had all year. And I'm a prisoner of the moment, if nothing else, on this.
I mean, his body is still not, like, decreasing. It still has the same power, the same strength. And on top of that, he's always ahead of everybody with the mind and the brain, the hockey IQ. Even if one day he starts slowing down, he's still going to be ahead of everybody because of the way he sees the game and everything. So he can't play until 50, maybe?
50?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know, 45, 50. It's going to be up to him. At the end of the day, it's always going to be up to him because he's, he's always going to be a step ahead of everybody.
Penguins reporting for training camp, first day on the ice. Chris Letang on Sidney Crosby's new two-year extension has him in Penguins black and gold through age 39, but here's Letang saying he could play to 45 or 50 and be the Tom Brady of hockey if he wants. Why not? I think
because hockey doesn't protect players like football protected Brady, and like the nature of playing quarterback protected Brady. Like, Sid is still out there, like, fighting battles in the corners.
Agreed, but fewer goons. The goon
quotient
has gone way down.
I know, but like, the basic physical ask of him in a 60-minute hockey game where he's going to play 19 to 21 minutes and Brady in a 60-minute football game is vastly different.
Tyler Kennedy, Sid's former teammate, won a Stanley Cup with him. Our Penguins analyst is with us right now. What do you make of what Letang is saying there about Sid having some of the best longevity possibly in hockey history? Tyler.
I think it's pretty honest. Like, when you think of Sid, the one thing, he's very thick. You know what I mean? Like, he's a big boy, especially his down low bottom part of
his
body.
He's got a big ass. Just say it. He's got a large ass, TK.
Very muscular
ass.
He's got a fat ass, yeah. But he's just big, and he's very good at getting low. He's got great balance. And I think, you know, when you think of his hockey IQ like Letang, like, talks about – I would think, like, honestly, like, he's got 25% more than most NHL guys around the league, which means he's going to be able to last a long, long, long time. And I can see him being almost like how Yogs is doing right now. Like, they're not, like, flying around the ice, but they do all the little plays. It's like playing with your dad in the backyard. Like, he's not as fast as you, but he knows all those tricks to get around you or beat you. So I can see, honestly, I can see Sid playing for a long, long time. And again, he can move up and down the lineup. You know, maybe he's a guy you put on the fourth line when he's 45 and he just makes a power play go and he just plays on the fourth line doing draws. I don't know. Again, I just think he's so adaptable and he's such a creature of his craft. And I think, you know, there's guys that have a hard time leaving the game. Like, Sid's going to have a hard time because to be as good as he is for as long as he is, hockey is such a huge part of his life, more than, you know, many other hockey players.
I get that. And Jágr obviously is one of the greatest to ever play, and he's clearly not Jaromír Jágr anymore as far as that level of ability and hasn't been for a long time. He just loves the game. But I guess you sort of went to where my next question was, which is, Sid's either been the best player in the league or, like, at worst, one of the top 5 to 7 players in the league for the last 20 years of his life, basically, right? So my question is, say he does finally, maybe it's after this contract ends, this extension, 3 years from now, he is more like one of the top 60 players in the league. Does he strike you as the kind of guy, if he's not able to do the stuff that he's done his whole career, that would want to keep going at a diminished version of himself? Like, if he's a 55-point player a year instead of a 90-point guy, like, I'm just wondering if he would say, you know what, I'm either going to be the dominant force or I'm just not going to play.
Question. Well, I think his biggest focus then would be just helping the team, you know, and guiding. I think that'd be more of his focus. And again, like, you want to talk about putting the team first, like, he just signed for 8.7, boys. Like, I don't think he's got a problem about thinking about others, putting the, you know, other guys in front of him on the depth chart. So I think, yeah, I don't think he'll have a problem getting 55 points. I see other guys maybe having a problem, but, like, again, I thought Tanger would have a big problem with Carlson coming here, and the way he's handled that situation, kind of taking a step back. Like, that's maturity, that's leadership. And again, Tanger's learning off Sid. So I can definitely see Sid, like, yeah, his play will, you know, or his point production will go down. But again, a lot of those veteran guys, they bring a lot to the team besides points. You know, when we won the Stanley Cup, Billy Guerin, Hal Gill, like, those guys brought more to the room than on the ice, I felt, because they kept us so well leveled, you know, so level-headed. They knew when to crack jokes. They knew
Guerin,
when to kind of...
Guerin loosened Sid up. Everyone talked about that. Let me ask you about something else, though, you just mentioned with him taking 8.7 and being team-friendly, because I've seen this put out there, so I wanted to run it by you because you did play the game. People have said he could have gotten, like, $10 million probably given his level of production. $10 million a year, but he took less. Do guys in the Players Association, because theoretically you want every guy to get the max amount of money that they're worth, because it's better for everybody if that's, like, the new, you know, somebody's setting the market again at a higher number. Would guys be a little fed up with him taking obviously less money on a deal like this than he could get otherwise from the Penguins for what it you know, the way other teams might try to negotiate against players like that?
Well, I think when I think about the 8.7, if you're a teammate, you love them because that means there's a little bit more money to spend on you.
Yep.
When you look around the league, you know, when you think of Austin Matthews, McDavid breaking the bank,
Draisaitl, like,
they're not going to win with that price tag. And it's crazy because Sid's that old generation kind of guy, and he's team first. This new generation is a little different, and the biggest thing I remember Sid said on, like, a podcast was, everyone has to do it, just not me, which means other guys have to take less if winning's the most important thing. And what kind of sucks is Guentzel. When you think of Guentzel, he didn't move off his price at all, and he went right for the bank, and he, you know, loaded up the Brinks truck, let's go, and went to Tampa with no taxes. And I wonder if Sid's sitting there and going, dude, we just won 2 cups, and I helped you so much through your career. This is not the way I taught you to be. But you went on your own route. You signed for the big ticket. Hey, if you want to do that and sail off in the sunset, maybe that's the new mentality of these new guys where I won two cups. I don't really care if I win another two because I'm here to get paid now. So it's so different of, honestly, so different for different generations. I think this new generation knows it's more business-like and put me first, where Sid's still the old school guy, you know, team first. I want to win. I play to win. I grew up wanting to win hockey games, not growing up. I like see how much I can, you know, back up the Brinks truck to make, you know, and it's very, very, it's probably alarming, and probably when you see other GMs around the league and they see Sid do that, like, it probably throws so many different discussions into any kind of contract.
Yeah.
With especially the stars, because they're like, dude, the best player for the last 20 years is going to take a discount and you're going to try to, you know, bone me for an extra $1 million. Come on. isn't that like crazy? But like, that's the first thing I'd say as a GM. If I was Billy Guerin and a kid that their top player won an extra $1 million and be like, hey, are you here to back up the truck or are you here to win with us? So, again, I think it changes a lot of conversations around the league.
Tyler Kennedy, check him out with us, our Penguins analyst, back for another season. Penguins and Sabres, Saturday, they'll play their first exhibition game. Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, boys.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone! Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one!
For Trent! Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.